This is VSiN's Bet the W. Here's your host, Danielle Albari.
Welcome into Bet the W. I'm your host, Danielle Albari, and Danny Barlavi is in the house today. WNBA content creator, women's basketball better. They work with Winsider and Her Hoop Stats, and you can find them on Twitter at DBLFluidity. Danny, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was telling Calvin last week that I went to a bachelorette party in Vegas over the weekend for actually one of my VSiN co-workers, Stormy Bonatoni, and I survived. Good. I survived. In case anybody was wondering, I'm alive.
Yeah,
it's really hot in Vegas. Though.
I've heard that. Yeah, no. Everyone I follow who's headed there for the All-Star game has been stressing about, like, you know, keeping cool, keeping hydrated, all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you mentioned it. The All-Star break is almost here. All-Star week is upon us. We have games on Tuesday and Wednesday this week. So we'll preview the Tuesday games. Obviously today we have two of them, which are some interesting matchups because kind of bottom of the barrel teams versus more towards the top. But since All-Star week is here, how has your season been going so far? Betting wise.
I mean, obviously I've been enjoying the basketball. Non-betting wise, it's been, crazy season in a lot of ways, but yeah, betting wise, going well. Doing a lot of betting with my friends over at Spread the Floor, at Her Hoop Stats as always, Calvin Wetzel and Dana Mataya, and yeah, I would say I'm I think I cleared 50 units last week. So yeah, feeling good about it. Feeling good about also just having some time to take a break from betting though. Don't bet on much outside of women's basketball, so it'll be good to have like 8 or so days outside of, you know, placing probably some stupid bets on the All-Star game to just, you know, take some space away from it. But excited to get back into it on the, I think it's the 20th that games come back, something like that.
Yeah, sounds about right. But I agree with you. Like, time to recalibrate. I took a week off during the season, obviously not, but a couple weeks ago. And for me, though, I think it's like the same dilemma as the players, like rest versus rust and like rhythm.
Yeah.
And me getting back into it that week I came back, it was just a little bit off. So hopefully that doesn't happen as we come back from the All-Star break. But things to consider. Plus, also motivations of teams and will there be people resting? I know that Elena Deladon re-injured her ankle on Sunday. So we'll talk about that. Obviously, we have the Mystics game on Tuesday. And that sort of leads me into the question I want to ask before we break down the games. Biggest surprises or letdowns so far this season? Because for me, the Mystics, very much so. I was very high on the Mystics. That did not pan out.
Yeah, I think we both and pretty much everyone in the space almost had the Mystics as that, like, outsider third team compared to the two super teams in Vegas and New York that, you know, didn't necessarily have all the big names, but have, you know, what looked like really great offensive and defensive talent. Obviously a really good offensive system, one of the most offensive systems of all time, architected by Mike Tebow and now handed down to his son, Eric Tebow. Like, and of course, you know, we've seen the way that Elena Deladon could just be an offensive system unto herself. So coming into the season with everything they had going, with the addition of Brittany Sykes especially, I felt great about them. And they've been pretty mid. You know, there have been the moments, obviously, the season opener against the Liberty had everyone's hopes even higher. But it's, you know, they've really been among kind of the same tier as, like, your Atlantas and your Dallases, if you're looking at, like, a long-term view over the whole season. Atlanta has been... They at first, I felt were falling a bit short of expectations the first couple of weeks. I feel like they were solidly in that mid-tier for me going into the season and seemed to be maybe on pace to be like a 7-8 seed or even miss the playoffs. But as Ryan Howard has rounded into form the last couple of weeks and as they've begun to like find something with her, it seems like they're going to be pretty pesky for someone in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. And the other team that was sort of in that mix, perhaps, the Fever, who I think we all expected to take a step forward, especially with the addition of Aaliyah Boston. She has exceeded all of my expectations, and they look even better than I thought they were going to.
If we're
going
to talk about an individual player, I think Aaliyah is clearly the standout biggest surprise of the season. You know, we saw everything she could do in college. She was obviously... you know, a national player of the year champion. But yeah, I mean, I thought that it would take some time for her offensive game in particular to translate to the pros. Mm-hmm. I thought that she was going to be like pretty much elite defensively right away. That doesn't surprise me. But seeing her put up these scoring numbers when she was never really known for blowing anyone away with her scoring numbers in college, even, you know, rarely, obviously, but mm-hmm. the consistency with which she's hit 20 points, 18 points. Yeah.
And the field goal percentage.
Yeah, no, one of the most efficient post players that we have, like, you know, just a tier below your Brittany Griners, better than a player like Jonquel Jones, who has been another, if we're going to talk about the opposite, an individual player who is perhaps fallen short of expectations. I would say Jonquel is at the top of that list for me, unfortunately.
And maybe not surprising, because when that New York super team got put together, that was kind of an odd piece for me as far as fit, just for what they already had.
Yeah, there's the fit, and it also just I don't know how much you've watched Jonquel in Europe, and you know, going back
not
to,
as much as you.
So yeah, going back to like going back to EuroLeague, and even before that, going back to the FIBA World Cup, there just seems to be some lingering physical issues that might just not go away for the rest of her career, and I hope that isn't true. I hope that she finds some ways to work it out for the rest of the season. Hopefully the break will be good for her in that respect too, and hopefully we'll see I think this is going to be one of the longest stretches of days that she's gone without playing a basketball game in a very long time. So I think that, you know, we talked about rest versus rust. You mentioned that. I think this is a situation where rest might be much needed, actually.
I agree with you. And obviously, as fans, like you said, we hope that that's not the case. Yeah. But we just want to see the best out of Jonquel. So hopefully that kind of starts to trend up.
That also, you know, as the holder of a Liberty future, I feel pretty strongly that her offensive gravity in the post would unlock a lot of things for them.
And what did you get the ticket at?
I forget the exact number. Let me look at FanDuel real quick.
Because they have shifted throughout the season. We know that. No, I mean, the Aces at this point are at a minus number.
I took it right when the Jonquel news broke, actually. When I kind of felt like, okay, like they're putting something together. They might get Stewie. Plus 750.
Plus 750. That's great. That's a great number on New York.
I'm very happy with that. And
They were 2-1 before the season?
Yeah, something like that. Another 2-1 now, or they're plus 230.
Just under around there. The Aces in the minus territory, like absolutely absurd.
Yeah, no, that's just. I mean, like the numbers support it, but it just seems crazy for at this point in the season anyone to be favored that heavily. I feel like, you know, to use a college analogy, South Carolina moved into that territory around relatively a similar point of the season, and you know that didn't work out.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get into the Tuesday games, one last note for me too. The Mercury, and this is a note, but it's a question. I have a question mark because I try to talk to, you know, I spread the good gospel of the W everywhere I go. So I like to talk to my friends who know nothing about it and say, you know, this is how this team looks. This is what. And when I talk about the Mercury, I don't really know what to tell the layman's person because they have good players. They have a good lineup. They have Sophie Cunningham to shoot threes, which I believe is on your fantasy team still. Is she still rostered?
Yeah, she's still rostered. I haven't been super active on fantasy, honestly.
I'm like in dead last, I'm pretty sure. Maybe Dano and I are, but we are struggling for sure. I had so many injuries. And also I'm just a bad GM. But
yeah, I'm a terrible Sophie Cunningham, GM. I don't pay attention.
I'm a bad GM. I was asking Calvin for advice the other day. Calvin's crushing it. So Calvin is crushing it.
I feel like for me, the biggest thing I can take from him is actually setting my lineups ever.
Oh my gosh, that's all of us. I know Karina's having that problem as well in our league. Majorly. But Sophie Cunningham is a three-point shooter. They have BG down low. They have Diana Taurasi, who maybe is a defensive liability at this point in her career, but is still Diana Taurasi. They have Mariah Jefferson, who's been incredible for me in fantasy and always shows up for them. Very good point guard. Very good players, and yet, how many games have they won? Less than five at this point.
Yeah, so I think it's something really like 4-14.
Yeah. What's going on here? Obviously, they switched off their coach.
Yeah, I mean, I think partially it's a coaching thing. I like what I'm seeing ever since the coaching change, just in terms of Nikki Blue getting Griner worked in a little bit more. And, you know, obviously she was the first option under Nygaard too, but I would say if you can get Brittany Griner a good look every game, every possession, pretty much, you should try to.
Yeah.
Like if she, like takes if she takes every shot, that's good. And
especially the first shot. We love the first basket.
I was going to talk a bit about first basket in that Aces and Mercury game, definitely. I do think that's moving in the right direction. I just feel like even with players like Cunningham, who honestly can be hot and cold 3-point shooting wise, on the nights where she her 3-point shot is hitting, obviously the spacing looks a lot better and it frees up a lot for BG to do what she does. But overall, it's just spacing seems to be the roster issue for me. You know, you have players that can shoot the three and make it, but I don't think you have any elite 3-point shooters in this league at this point. Maybe Diana at her best, maybe Sophie on a hot night, but no one who is night by night spreading the floor enough for BG to really take over. And honestly, like, even at this point in her career, it feels like she should be averaging 25 points per game. And I don't think it's Ryder's fault that she's not.
Yeah. I agree. I think, and again, all of us just excited to have her back this year.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing that it keeps coming back to with the Mercury for me. It's just such a shame to have her come back to a losing team like this, to a team that's really, you know, as you said, I think bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, but not talent-wise. That's the biggest.
Talent-wise, I mean.
Because there's teams that are towards the bottom, and I go, I get it. The Storm are completely depleted. Jewel's doing her best, but this is not that. So
this
it's
is
very
not that, no.
Wild. But they are playing on Tuesday, so at the Storm. Before we get into the Tuesday previews, just a reminder that if you have VSiN, which this is one of the VSiN's podcasts, VSiN has a 24/7 channel on YouTube TV as part of the Sports Plus package. So if you're switching over to YouTube TV, make sure you check out the VSiN channel, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now let's get in to the Tuesday, July 11th breakdown. Seattle Storm at the Washington Mystics. I guess this would be Mystics -6.5 at home. Again, we have injuries to consider for this one on both sides.
Yep.
But this ended up coming out at 6. I don't think it's moved yet, but maybe more towards a 7.
I saw it
up,
open at points that for a second at 5.5 before moving to 6. Someone hit Mystics right away and moved it. Who knows who?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm seeing 6.5 now. So we were 6 at DraftKings. Now we're up to 6.5. Total down to 158. It was 158.5, but an hour before we recorded this. So moving that direction down, which is not surprising again, because we do have some things to consider. Natasha Cloud missed Sunday's game due to her ankle. She's expected back. Elena Deladon aggravated her ankle injury in Sunday's loss, expected to miss at least 2 weeks. And then on the Storm side, Jewel Lloyd left Saturday's game versus the Liberty with 7 minutes left in the fourth, left ankle sprain, but expected to play Tuesday. I also think it's interesting, you look back, these teams played on June 9th and 11th, both in Seattle. The Mystics won both games by about 6 to 7 points both times. They were 12.5-point favorites for the first one, 3.5 for the second one, so huge swing. And that was because Jewel Lloyd did not play in the first one where they were 12.5-point favorites, and yet the Storm still covered without her.
Yep.
Then the Mystics were 3.5-point favorites on June 11th, covered 1-6. Elena Deladon did not play, and yet the Mystics were able to cover. So we missed Jewel Lloyd in the first one, then EDD. Now in this one, we might be missing EDD again.
Yeah.
Thoughts on this one?
Yeah, you bring up those two games that they played reminded me that obviously with injuries, I believe the Mystics in the first game and the Storm in the second, and lost both bets. I guess with that qualifier going into my pick, I am leaning the Storm in this matchup.
As am I.
Yeah, I feel like...
Cautiously.
Yeah, definitely cautiously. Maybe not a full unit play for me. Maybe a half, maybe a 0.75. I'm waiting right now because, as we've seen, it seems like the general public and possibly other sharps are on the Mystics. So I feel like we could see this at 7.5 tomorrow morning. We could also see it at 5.5 if it goes the other way, and I would still be comfortable taking Seattle there. I just feel like with what we saw from Seattle in this last game against the Liberty, which they covered huge on, came within a few possessions of an upset. I think that same game plan works here, especially with Elena out and Shakira Austin out. You know, the game plan there was basically outwork them on the backboards, get more possessions, and keep it close that way. And, you know, with this front court of Jordan Horson and Dulce and Ezzie, I feel very strongly that they can do that against what is a depleted Mystics front court and just, you know, get more possessions and in that way keep it close without necessarily even outshooting them. I kind of lean this way even when it seemed like Jewel might not play earlier today. Well, yeah, I imagine we would have gotten a higher spread and, you know, played it accordingly. But with Jewel playing especially, it just feels like Noah Quinn's really found something with Dulce, honestly. I feel like that's a huge kind of internal get in a way for them moving her into the starting lineup. Just three forwards that can really just pound the backboards, make life difficult in that respect for the opponent. I expect that she'll keep running with that in these last few games, just trying to see what's there. And especially against a team like Washington that's kind of struggled to rebound, even with Elena Deladon, even with Shakira Austin, I feel like that works really well.
And haven't gotten Queen Igbo, who they got from the Fever, involved a lot yet. No. And they need her size back, obviously, with EDD and Shakira not in the mix. I haven't seen them involve her a lot.
I wonder if we'll see a spike in her usage in this game tomorrow, just with how much size there is on Seattle's side.
Yeah, I agree. And I also wonder if this will go over or under, but it's weirdly enough. So Washington 6-11 and 1 in their totals this season. Mm-hmm. So 11 unders, lots of unders, right?
Yeah.
There was this stretch where they had 8 or 9 unders in June, and those Seattle games were part of it. They were struggling big time to put an offense together for real. Yeah. But lately, 4 out of their last 5 have gone over. I think Elena Deladon played in about 3 of those. I can't remember last I checked, but it didn't have a huge impact on it one way or the other. So normally on a Mystics game, I'd love to go under. We got 158.5. It's a low total, but it's doable for a Mystics game normally. I don't think that's the Mystics right now. And I think if EDD is not in, for whatever reason, these backup players, I don't know if it's a defensive drop-off or an increase in speed. There seems to be a little bit more scoring going on, whether Elena's in or not. So I almost think you could look to an over here. And everyone, again, knows how much I hate betting those.
Yeah. I mean, another situation where I feel like the line will continue to move down, and maybe it might be a good look for a second half over. Noelle Quinn has been flipping the benches and kind of coaching her in front of her bench in the second half defensively a bit at times in the season, might look to do that. And usually shooting in front of your bench correlates with higher scoring. So yeah, I might look at that. Might just look to see if people bet it down to like the mid 150s. I'm not comfortable taking the under though. My first impulse was an under, but I looked a little bit at that recency for the Mystics and just it's so low. If this was even 160.5, I would feel more comfortable taking an under. But
for sure,
it's super low. Especially, I mean, it does really feel like the Mystics have, I guess, a higher offensive pace. Without EDD, it feels like the ball moves a little bit more freely. Without sticking on her, without sticking on Shakira, maybe.
And the Storm are 4th in pace. They like to play fast. They're last in offensive rating, to be clear. That's why we're just like, this isn't a slam dunk over. But it might be an opportunity for an over with this total in the 150s.
Absolutely.
Especially with Jewel in play. If Jewel's in, I can get more on board with that for sure. So that's where I would look. And also, I think I saw a 7 pop up at one point. I know we're talking 6, 6.5, but I thought I saw a 7. I would like a 7. I would like plus 7 with the Storm, and
I'm
waiting. Get down.
I feel comfortable waiting. And yeah, as I said before, if it moves down, I'll go smaller. If it moves up, I'll go higher.
Right. Yeah. And also, do you think there's anything to heading into All-Star break that affects how these teams might be playing as well? Because I do think the Mystics are kind of like, EDD is expected to miss at least 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe they're kind of winding down.
There's something to be said about the age difference between these two groups. You know, Seattle is this young team that would love to steal this game. The Mystics are an older, that more veteran-heavy team that might be having their eyes on the break a little bit more and, you know, kind of have that Friday mindset is a way I've referred to it. You know, you don't get any work done on a Friday. And this is kind of the season's Friday in a way.
I don't get work done on Fridays because the Ion games have been incredible.
Yeah, no, Ion really lucked out with these Friday night slates. That being said, I, even though there is a more veteran heavy roster for the Mystics, I do think what has to be considered is the got them that dog in her factor that players like Brittany Sykes and Natasha Cloud both have.
Oh, love Sykes.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely eyeing a points over for Sykes in this game. If we get it somewhere 14.5 or lower, it just feels like in these games where the Mystics are coming in looking completely offensively depleted, you're like, who is going to score for them? It's Brittany. It's Sykes. And you know, she absolutely has that competitive edge to her. She absolutely has that veteran, like, I'm the next person up mentality. And interestingly, I was looking at some on-off data at pvpstats.com, and something that really surprised me is that Sykes is one of the biggest beneficiaries in terms of points per 100 possessions when Shakira Austin sits, which seems kind of unexpected. You don't usually see that kind of swing with a guard and a center, but it kind of makes sense if you think about how Sykes likes to play when she is getting hot.
That's how I remember her with the Sparks.
Exactly, like she kind of turns into this 5'9" center when she's really called upon to be the main person, like really getting in the paint, doing a lot of cutting.
Is she only 5'9"?
I think that's right.
Oh my God, she plays like 6'2".
She plays huge. I mean, she won. She won a tip this year. She won two tips this year. One in game and one at the beginning of the game when Austin first went down a couple of weeks ago.
Oh wow! See, I have no concept of these heights at all. I think I don't realize how tall the tall people are, and I don't realize how not tall like
with
the other
with
people.
The podcast angle, it's kind of hard. It kind of skews the heights. Yeah, she is 5'9".
Wow. See, yeah. I saw Kelsey Plum play in person, I was like, oh my God, she's my height.
She's tiny.
I missed it. Yeah, I thought I was so too tiny. Short to play. No, I'm just not talented enough to play, but I wasn't too short. It's good to know.
But yeah.
Brittany Sykes. I like that.
Not over assists for me, just because we do have Natasha Cloud playing, and I do think she'll be more the facilitator.
She's not been as consistent for me on fantasy, Natasha Cloud.
No.
Just scoring wise, I think more than anything. So I agree with you. I think she will take that facilitator role here, and we could see a spike in Sykes. It's very exciting. We have another Brittany to talk about in the next game. Mercury and the Aces. The Mercury are at the Aces. I thought this would be 16.5. I'm very proud because it opened at what, 17?
17, you nailed that. Yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna go 15.5 and I said that's not high enough. No. So 17 was the number.
Not high enough. I think this is absolutely a hammer spot for the Aces.
Oh jeez. Are you gonna be laying this? Are you gonna lay 17?
Yeah,
it's
I think so.
It's so high.
It's very high, but I mean, not that this kind of thinking always works out, but I do think the Lynx are a significantly better team than the Mercury.
Oh, yeah.
And the Aces just blew them out by 23, I think. And it kind of just, for me, if I'm Becky Hammon, if I'm Asia, if I'm any of the players on the Aces, I'm still immensely pissed off after losing to Dallas. It's still in the rearview mirror.
Their second loss of the season.
Yeah, against a team that really doesn't.
It's a middle team. They're very much middler.
The Wings are great when they're great. And like the Mercury, they're a team that's, you know, parts are greater than the whole of them. They have more talent than their record would reflect. But yeah, Dallas stealing a win from the Aces is something that they should absolutely be scandalized by, in my opinion. For me, if I'm them, I'm on the war path until the All-Star break. I'm going into the All-Star break with
nobody's
my head
safe.
Yeah, if I had held, and especially look at, you know, they're on a back-to-back, which is not ideal, but with chartered flights, that is a bit dampened. But playing the Mercury and the Sparks, those are two teams that they can easily run the score up against, and you know, remind everyone who they are before we take a couple of days off. And given
they won
that,
by 20 last time. They played on June 21st. They won 99-79. That was in Phoenix. Yeah. So
I think that the Aces are one of the greatest WNBA teams of all time. I think the Mercury suck. I hate to say it, but yeah, I don't think that these are teams at all in the same league. And yeah, I think the Aces are kind of make an example of the Mercury, to put it as violently as I can.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the Aces do not care if this is basically the team that's the first in every category, offensive, defensive, everything, right?
Yeah.
And then you have the team that's basically the bottom in all of these, mm-hmm. the Phoenix Mercury. So I don't think that they care that this is the last place team. They're going to run right through them, I think.
I do think if this game happened like before the Wings, I wouldn't feel as comfortable hanging this, but it's just, you know, you have to come away from that being like, we can't play down to anyone. That is when we'll die. You have to mm-hmm. come out and give your best against every team in this league.
I think what worries me is if it is a crazy blowout, fourth quarter, backdoor cover situation. That's why I don't like to bet these. Anything, honestly, above 13.5 is about my sticking point with most of these spreads. And of course, it's case by case. And the Aces are that good, as we've said. They beat people by 20.
Yeah.
So it's not that you can't bet it. It's just like, this might be. I want to worry.
Given the blowout potential, it might be first half spread.
Yeah, I was wondering if
you get that at like 9.5, 10.5. I'm comfortable laying that, I think.
That's good. I like a first half idea here. I think that's, and like you said, maybe going to come out playing mad. What about the first basket? You said you had notes on that.
So BG and Asia are two of the best that do it in terms of winning tips.
We get them both
in this game. I was obviously talking to Calvin earlier about first basket when
he loves it.
Yeah, of course. It's his baby. It's his thing. He's the god of it. We agree that Asia is comfortable playing. You can comfortably play Asia, I say, up to like 550.
Mm-hmm.
And comfortably play BG up to like 350. Usually I would say you can go even lower on BG, but given that it's Asia, maybe a higher odds might be targeted, I would say.
Good chance it's one of them.
But yeah, I would say that if you put like, I would say a third of a unit on BG and maybe a fifth of a unit on Asia, you'll profit, hopefully.
That's the goal. First basket, tricky.
You have a very good chance at profiting, I would say, relative to first basket.
Yeah, this is a fun prop to bet. And there's some handicapping that can go into it, but obviously it's the luck of the draw sometimes. Sometimes a shot just doesn't fall, but these teams do love to go to their post players and get that established right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
So opportunity there. I know you mentioned that Coach Blue has done some things that have been positive with the Mercury. They've covered three of their last five games against different teams, the Fever, the Liberty, the Sparks. They're 2-7 against the spread on the road. This is a short trip. Short trip, obviously, Phoenix to Vegas, but I just don't trust them in this spot. I would lean under normally, which sounds crazy in an Aces game.
Yeah.
But I lean under just because of Phoenix's offense. But the reason I can't bet an under is because of Phoenix's defense and the Aces offense combined. So that makes it really tough. This would be a live situation if you can kind of get a rhythm for the game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. For those reasons, a total either way kind of scares me. I think I do overall lean an over.
Best team versus the worst team.
Maybe hold out for Aces like team total over instead of the full game.
Or first half.
Yeah, perhaps or first half over is also an option.
All right, I love it.
Yeah.
Any other props for this game? Anything else on this game?
One of my big fades this week for my player fade column over at Her Hoop Stats, which is dropping tomorrow.
On game day.
On game day, yes. one of my big fades is going to be Sophie Cunningham. I kind of talked about...
Your own player.
Yeah, no, I know.
You are a bad GM.
Everyone knows how publicly I love Sophie Cunningham, and I always talk so positively about her on my Twitter and everything.
Just dripping with sarcasm. Okay.
Yeah. This is not a personal thing. This is a basketball
stats.
Data thing, yeah. I mentioned earlier that Blue has emphasized Reiner more offensively. It mm-hmm. looks so far like it's been Sophie ceding those looks to her. Mm-hmm. Let me pull up the exact number real quick.
Yeah.
But yeah, Cunningham is down to 5.7 field goal attempts per game in the last three games, her only three full games under the Heat Blue. And that's down from 9.8 field goal attempts at the beginning of the season under Nygaard. It does feel like a situation where Sophie was kind of a favorite of Vanessa Nygaard's, I would say, mm-hmm. just kind of from analyzing.
She had favorites, sure.
Yeah, she absolutely had favorites. Diana Taurasi, Sophie Cunningham. And it feels like that's less the case with Nikki Blue. Obviously, I qualify that by saying Cunningham had a back injury and was in concussion protocol at the beginning of Blue's tenure.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's still working back from those injuries. She's still, you know, Blue is still figuring out how to best use her in the offense. And those field goal attempts will probably go up at some point. But right now, it kind of feels like Sophie Cunningham under City is where it's at. I would probably take her points under down to 10.5 at this point. She's averaging 13.5 on the season and just 6.7 over the last three games. I don't know if I'd take it much lower than 10.5, just because, as I'm saying, at any point they could figure it out. She could be worked in. She could get hopped in three. But yeah, she's seeding a lot of looks.
She's high Reiner. Points per play when she is scoring.
Or
points per shot rather. Mm-hmm. I like it. I like it. I hope it doesn't happen for the sake of your fantasy team, but for the sake of your bet, I hope it does. So a little bit split there.
It's a hedge.
Danny, before we let you go, do you have a win of the week? Now, Danny hasn't been on the show yet this season for this, but it can be a life win or it can be a betting win. But what is your win of the week? Because we like to end on a little positivity around here.
I had one more prop play, actually, I wanted to talk about
okay.
for this game.
Okay, hit it.
If you don't mind.
Hit us with a prop. Yeah, hit us with that.
Yeah. And
this
then
is
I'll...
a future win of the week.
Yes, for sure. We talked about Brittany Griner first basket. We talked about how she's been worked into the offense even more. Her field goal attempts are way up. Her scoring is way up. She's over 20.5, and I believe all but two of her games, like full games, not limited by injury under Nikki Blue. I have to fact check myself on that. If that's where they've been hanging her, mostly. Even with the Aces' really good post defense, I think I have to keep riding that until it's moved up to like 21.5, 22.5. I think I'd play the over up to 21.5. But I honestly think we might see 19.5 tomorrow just with that Aces factor.
Yeah, I could see it. I wonder if Candace will give Brittany any trouble, obviously, with her incredible defensive presence, but I could definitely see it happening.
Yeah.
All right. We have all your props now, right? I don't want
to. Yeah, no, I'm not. I don't have any more. I mean, I will the day of the game when we see the lines, but.
Yes. That follow on Twitter. DBL
and
Fluidity.
Action Network. Yeah. DBL Fluidity Action. As well.
Okay. Win of the week for you. Life or betting, your choice.
I cash.
See, this is why we do it. I get nervous when people can't think of something good that happened to them.
I'll do a betting win. Brazil played USA in the America Cup yesterday.
Okay.
It was their second game of the tournament. Brazil blew them out the first time. Overall, I mean, I don't know if everyone listening was following those games at all, but obviously it's WNBA season. Team USA this time is a bunch of college students, some really good college students, but a bunch of college students. And Brazil had some, you know, Erica D'Souza, Damiris Dantas, some real WNBA veterans, and Brazil blew them out twice. And I was on Brazil both times. And
you got to cash that.
Yeah, any time that you can take a win off fading Team USA in basketball seems like something that should be celebrated.
Okay. All right, we count that. We'll count that as a win of the week. My win of the week is that I survived my weekend. I'm off again. Yep. Off again to Vegas this week. Very exciting. Excited to go for NBA Summer League, do some content, obviously, with VSiN and also the WNBA All-Star Game. So lots to look forward to this week. But we will have one more show to preview the Wednesday games, the final games. Calvin Wetzel will be here for that. But thank you so much to Danny Barlavi. Follow them at DBL Fluidity on Twitter. Thank you so much, Danny.
Yeah, great being on. Thanks.
Yeah. And we'll have him back on, of course. We'll have you back on. And make sure you follow Bet the W Show at Bet the W Show on Twitter.